Begin where we are in the Radak. Oh, I have two of them. You have two Svarim over here. How did I get two? I stole yours?
No.
Okay, whatever it is. Let's look over here. We're up to 874. Yes, so we're up to the Radak. Let's see the Radak. The Radak over here says, V'yata pasuk Aleph, and the Radak, V'yata v'yhanim. I'll read the pasuk again. V'yhanim ha-mitzvah ha-zois ha-k'yata aleich aleichem upon you ha-mitzvah zois ha-k'yhanim. So it says over here in the Radak, being that the Kohanim are the ones that accept the carbon that is defective, miyad hamevim oisoy from the hands of those who bring it, it is their guilt, the complaint is directed towards the Kohanim. They, the Kohanim, should have prevented the people from bringing this, to teach them, ki ein zeh hakarbon roi lakvivo lefonai kamosha mon o oisoy hatoyra. There is a complaint that is directed against the Kohanim. Against the Kohanim, it's your fault. When the people bring such a carbon, you should instruct them that this is not proper. This is not proper, and you should lodge a protest, and therefore the blame lies with you, leaders. Beis bochem b'mekablim u'mekablim uva mevi'im. Pasuk Beis says, and you're not going to listen. Who is the one that will be the recipients of the curse? So the Radak says, the recipients of the curse will be from Makablim Uva Mevi'im, meaning the Kohanim will be the recipients of the curse, and the people who bring the Korbanis, both, everyone will suffer from this curse. And what is the curse? The pasuk continues, there or Roisi as bir choy seichem, I will curse your blessing. So we learned in Yesi and Rashi, it means I will send forth a curse to prevent the blessing that would ordinarily come. That's how Rashi did not learn the pasuk literally. He interpreted it in this different form. Let's see the Radak.
As bir.
Oh, so that's it. It's called the klala. So you see, that's different. It doesn't say that at least. That's what Rashi is coming to Bavaran. It's different. There, it's I will transform the bracha. Even that. What does that mean exactly?
No, there it's klala libracha.
I will transform the klala to bracha. Does that mean that you're gonna have property, but the property is gonna be to your detriment, or does it mean that you're not gonna have that? Instead of Hashem giving you bracha, He will prevent bracha from arriving, and instead something else will come in its place. Obviously, it's also subject to interpretation. Rashi yesterday, when we read these words, he said, look at Rashi again quickly. Ma shetzarich luvarich lochem hadogon v'hatirosh v'hayitzar. What I should have shetzarich luvarich, this that I should have given you blessing, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I'm going to make it into a curse. I will curse this that should have been. It's a whole different twist to translate. It sounds like I really should have sent you blessing, but I'm going to prevent that, and the sin is going to be suffering. Let's go to the Radak. Radak says, "Zbircho sechem shebirachti eschem achar binyan habayis kmo shekasuf omar achar sheatem mevazim oisi bikor bino sechem." Radak is starting not like Rashi. He starts off by making it very clear. You have already, the money is in the bank. You already have received enormous blessing. You already have, when did they get this blessing? When they built the Bayis Sheni. When the Bayis Sheni was built, I blessed you. I already blessed you. This, that you have a blessing, this will turn now to you, it will turn into a curse. Vigam o rosiha. I also will curse it. O rosiha kiloimar arato o rosiha barocha shenasati lochem meis shehachi loisam levazoisi be bahavoar. Or he changed the gear so here means bebizyoin hakarbonos. The ata now oisif oid. Bameira, a curse, imuloi sishmuf, you will not listen. So again, he's saying with Kloimar. Whenever you have a mefarish that says with Kloimar, he's telling you there's more than meets the eye, there's more commentary that needs to be injected. And he's saying the gam, until now, I curse blessing that I've given you from the time that you have done an action. So see, saying something similar to what Rashi said, but not as far, not as deep. He's saying that until now I only brought punishment upon you when you did something incorrect. When you actually did something that's not proper, you've done an action by being mevazami, by bringing to the Beis Hamikdash a carbon that's not fit, then I punished you. But if you did nothing, if I gave you instructions what to do, and you shev the altase, you just did not listen, you did not obey, I didn't punish you. I did not punish you for your stubbornness. Now I'm going to punish you even for not listening. This is when it takes on an entirely new nature. Good morning. Takes on a new nature. Even for not listening, it's going to be punishment. Okay? Pas the gimel in the Radak. Hinni goyer lochem inyin hashchasa k'moy go'arti goyim. The word goyer, he translates, we learn until it means to shout. And we learn the Rashi means Hashem, because Hashem is going to give instructions to the Zera, that the Zera should not blossom. That's not what it says over here in the Radak. The word goyer, the word itself means curse, to destroy. Inyin hashchasa k'mo go'arto goyim, which in this, according to the Mitzudas, means you've cursed the nations. Lochem ba'avurchem, I will curse, I will destroy lochem because of you, es hazera. Okay, a whole new parish. Rashi said Hashem is going to shout. Hashem will basically instruct the seed not to blossom. Radak disagrees. The word goyer is not an instruction. It's a direct
destruction.
It's direct. I will destroy lochem because of you, es hazera. The zera will be destroyed. There will be some catastrophe, some disaster, natural disaster, where the zera will be destroyed. Not like Rashi, a whole different interpretation. Vizay receive feresh. I will disperse, I will cast waste. Vizay receive mila'el. We read it, mila'el means the second to last syllable. Go back to the pasuk. What is the ta'am ha'nikra? The ta'am. It says vizayrisi. Okay, notice that the mapach is underneath the resh. That means it's called mila el y. Milara means the end. By the default, in every word in the Hebrew language, the emphasis on the word is milara, the last syllable. That's why it's so confusing for us Orthodox Jews, because
perfect.
Yeah. Then it changes.
Like the AOT. It should be on the top.
It should be it should because of the Ma'apeches. It's going to turn into the future tense. It's totally in the Vav Ma'apeches. It should be. The word Zayrisi is the past tense. Zayrisi is the past tense. He's saying that the Vav Ma'apeches, it turns it from the past tense to the future tense. And when it turns to the future tense, it also has an effect that the emphasis is not Milera, but it's Mila'el. Mila'el doesn't feel like a mistake. I think the Mila'el means on the beginning of the word. Mila'el means the second. There's no such thing in Hebrew ever, if I'm not mistaken, of putting the emphasis on the beginning of the word. That's incorrect. It's on the second to last syllable. It just so happens there are many words that have only two syllables. So when you put the emphasis on the second to last syllable, it turns out that you're putting the emphasis on the beginning of the word. But that's not an accurate way to describe mila'el. People make that mistake. Then mila'ra means the emphasis is on the end of the word, the last, and mila'ra, the emphasis on the beginning of the word. That is very nice and true when you have a word that has only two syllables. But if you have a word that has three syllables, then you put the emphasis on the first syllable, you're making a mistake, then it makes no sense. It means on the second to last syllable. So here it says, here I didn't know that for many, many years. It took me a very long time to figure that out. But over here,
Milra's
the end. Milra's the last syllable, the end. Milra is an Aramaic word which means the end. And the le'el means, like the Gemara says, le'el. The not so noticing the top
so
of
the
first. Not the beginning. You see, you fell into that trap, like me. You fell. You just fell into that trap. It means. It means the beginning relative to the end, but not the beginning.
Right.
The second to last syllable.
So what is yishtabach?
Yishtabach.
Yishtabach.
No, it's not.
It's
yishtabach. Shemicha. Everything in Hebrew by default is the last syllable.
By default or by default?
No, by default. In English, that's why this is the by default. In English, you don't say default. You say default.
Yes, you, do, right?
You do? Okay, made a mistake. Okay. How do you
unless
say?
Okay,
address. How do you say? How do you say your home address?
No,
address.
Address is a verb. Address. Is
address.
A noun.
And when you want to speak to people, give. I want to give an address. It's the same word. How do you pronounce when you want to give an address? What do you put the emphasis on the end of the word? Right.
Milura.
I want to give. I will address the tzibur. Address the tzibur.
Right.
What is your home address?
But default is a noun.
What?
Default is a noun. Default is a verb.
Right. Absolutely right. So that's how you differentiate. At least in this example, there are many examples that you don't do. There's a very famous story with Moshe Feinstein. The person came to Moshe Feinstein and said to him, gave a long tirade. Why don't they teach yeshiva Hebrew grammar? And he went on. How come you don't teach Diktok, you don't teach Diktok, and they don't know Diktok, and they don't know Diktok, and they grew up in the Amaratz, and they make Diktok. And Rav Moshe sat there quietly for a very long time, listening to the tirade. And when he was finished, the Rav Moshe said to him, by the way, it's not Diktok, it's Diktok. Okay, it's a very famous story.
I have a question about Diktok as a segment.
Diktok.
I never heard this word.
Diktok.
So he said, Diktok.
The reason why we Orthodox Jews have a very hard time with this is because whether you like it or not, we the Yiddish, listen, Matan Torah was given in Yiddish. Okay, everyone knows that. Our Zaydis all spoke only Yiddish, so it was given in Yiddish, Matan Torah, and in Yiddish there is absolutely no such thing as Milara. It does not exist. Anytime you'll find a word in Yiddish that it seems to be milara, it's because there's a prefix. There's a prefix. So that's why you pronounce, you're not pronouncing the prefix, you're pronouncing the word itself. But in Yiddish, everything is milael. Not only milael, it's worse than that. It's the beginning of the word. You can have a word that has nothing, a word that has many syllables in Yiddish. You put the emphasis on the beginning. I don't know Yiddish, but if you try Yiddish, you'll see in Yiddish. So when you grow up, and you live in a world where the way, the manner of speech, your daily conversation is in Yiddish, and Yiddish is Yiddish, German, the emphasis is on the beginning of the word, and then you open up a Chumash, and you have to read a Pasuk in Chumash, and you get an Aliyah, so what are you going to say? You're going to say, Baruch. That's what you're going to do. If you, the whole day your mind subconsciously, you're brainwashed to speak with the emphasis of every single word that comes out of your mouth is in the first syllable.
It's Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Atah Hashem Elokei. We're all messed up, and it takes a lot of training to know it's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. That's an exception when you have two segels. Whenever you have a double segel, that's an exception. That is one of the exceptions. It's on the first syllable. Melech. You don't say melech. That's a bad mistake. It's melech. No, a king, kingdom. Melech. Now, how often do you say Saul? No, you say Saul also, melech. Two segels. Whenever you have a double segel,
most people say that correctly because it's awkward not to.
It's only because
it's
we're used to.
What they're doing, they'll say melech, not melech.
It's only that's only because we're used to. So what about MS, truth, MS? There it's MS, not MS. That's wrong. It's not a segel. It's look in the siddur. It's a chataf segel. It's five dots. There's a segel with a shva on the right side, which
actually,
means
actually segel is not the only exception.
Not the only exception, right? The other exceptions. It's not, correct. The other exceptions. Correct.
You know,
other exceptions.
I was recently speaking to an Israeli relative visiting the United States, and among the places he said they were going to visit was D.C. D.C.? D.C. Oh, you mean D.C.? I said, it's Milarab, not Milael.
Okay.
The few acquaintances I had that went to Yiddish-speaking yeshivas, they knew Diptych for Ivrit better than anyone I ever met.
If you're trained, if you have a good education, you'll know everything.
Yeah, for that,
that's the way it goes. If you train, you go to a class, go to a yeshiva where they teach you and there's discipline, and you have good students and good families, and education is important, and they have the right teachers, you'll know everything. If you go to a zoo, you're not going to know anything. That's how it is. Today, most schools are just glorified babysitting services. That's what it is today. And education, you learn yourself, figure it out yeself. What are they doing most yeshivas today? The babysitting service. That's all it is. It's not so bad, not so bad. Better keep kids off the streets than then. But to actually come away knowing something, how much do you really learn? How much do you learn in yeshivas? Some are better than others. Kids, it's not nice to say. I once said that. Did I get a yeshiva? Recently, I made a statement and I was in Lakewood and I was talking to someone and I just said something not so nice. Did I get a yeshiva? On and on, I had apologized 1,000 times, opened up my stupid mouth. And he's right, you don't know, watch yourself. It's not a one size fits all. There's some very, very good yeshivas, they really learn, they really come away knowing, you know, a lot more than I'll ever know. So who am I opening my mouth? But obviously every community has their priorities. Some yeshivas, they don't care about the, some do. Some don't care about Chum Tanakh, some do. Some don't. They different mahalchim. Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's not even speaking wrong. It's even a sensitivity. It's to convey to Talmidim what you don't know. Okay. Even if you teach, you tell Talmidim even that giving over to students and understanding. You know, this is a very complicated topic. And it's very important. Unfortunately, I'm not knowledgeable, but you should, you know, the day should come when you should, you know, decide to learn this and master these things. Okay, let's go further.
Rabbi Levine, I was thinking, where did I see a word like go-air before? And in a well-known Haftarah, Ramita Sinti, it says,
So what is it over there? So over here you're saying you're going
here as Hashem will denounce you.
Okay, so therefore this is going to make a difference in how you travel the word Yigah. According to Rashi, it means to shout. According to Radak, it means to destroy. It means to bring about a diminishment, a hashchasa. So denounce, it sounds almost like a combination of both. What kind of word does that mean, to denounce? On the one hand, the word denounce, I believe, has a connotation of dibur, of
yeah.
To, but on the other hand, it also, it's a dibur, or denounce, it's not just a shas. Denounce has a connotation of, through your dibur, you're going to diminish something. You're going to lower its esteem, its value in the ears of your listeners, in the minds of your listeners. So that English translation, denounce, is a very clever translation because it almost sounds like a combination, an attempt to combine Rashi and the Radak. Denounce means dibur, but also through the dibur, there's a diminishment in what it means.
Okay. But he can destroy the dibur also. The same word. That's Hashem can do that.
Hashem through his dibur. The
dibur
of Hashem is a maisa by a man. Hashem's koyach dibur has the same value as koyach as dibur. Correct. Okay, let's go further. The Radak of Yeh says v'zei risi feresh. So again, this is where we got sidetracked. V'zei risi. What, well, sorry?
Two segel.
No, that's feresh. What happened there? What's with the word v'zei risi? First, the second line of the Radak, and page 875, pasuk gimel. The second line, pasuk gimel. So first, he says over here the word v'zei risi means mila el. Humi binyan hadagush. Kamal, you have to read it. The first thing he says is v'zei risi. Let me go back to the pasuk. V'zei risi, not v'zei risi. Number two, v'hu, and this word mi binyan hadagush. This comes from a binyan which has dat, but there is no dat. Kamal, mizorei Yisrael. The Jewish people are scattered. So what does it mean over here? What does it mean over here that it's Mubin Habagosh? I do not know what that means. I do not know. Let's go further. Feresh. Zevel, what is Feresh? Zevel. The same Sheresh that we used to
Zera should actually
seed.
Right.
Instead it's being dispersed. It should be low, it should stay in its place, but instead it's gonna be dispersed. Excellent. Feresh. What is Feresh? Zevel habahemus kumov yes pirshoi waste. Omar techila. First it says Feresh. The acharkach perash v'yomar peresh chagechem. A second time. V'hukumo kivosim. The word chagechem should be substituted for your sacrifices, like sheep. The kivosim rotzolomar ki bahamois hakarbonos. The animals, the kibonos, you call chagim. It's an incredible radak. This radak over here, something which if you know this radak and you study Tanakh, many psukim will take on an entirely new meaning. The radak over here is telling us the word chag can be substituted for a korban, which is something I don't think you would come to that conclusion. When you say chag means it's a festival. Chag hasukos ta'aseh l'cha. Chag hashavuos. When you say the word chag, what does that mean in our vocabulary? A festival. What do you do on a festival? You don't go to work. It is an isser of melacha achiv to stop doing labor.
Yes. But that's not the Torah's idea of chag.
No, that's the question. What is the Torah's idea of chag?
The idea of chag is you come to Yerushalayim and you bring korbanos.
You're saying a pilgrimage, and there is a Shalmei Chagiga. The person has an obligation on Yom to bring a korban shlomim. There's an obligation every Yom to the person has to bring a korban oila, the Shalosh Regalim, oila Sriya. And being that it's called a chag, that demands you also bring a korban shlomim. And indeed, that is derived from the word chag. The word chag is somewhere within the Gemara, somewhere. The Gemara learns that the word chag means you must bring a carbon.
Is carboni chagi? No, right?
Carbon lachmi.
No.
Okay, there's another possible.
Somewhere else.
Okay, in Ochanami.
Somewhere else.
Okay, in Ochanami. But the word chag, the Radak makes it very, very clear that in this pasuk we see when it says it's going to be, I'm going to sprinkle upon you, scatter upon you the waste of your chagechem. What does that mean? The waste of your chag. You go to the standard. You go to when you finish eating your su'udah, your meal, your yom tov meal. Someone's gonna take out of the all the garbage and throw it on your head. Is that what it means over here? No. What it means over here is that the animal that you're bringing as a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this moed, Hashem says, I don't want your animal. Don't bring me defective merchandise. I do not want it. And the way Hashem will show you that He does not want your merchandise, your defective merchandise, He will take the waste that comes out of the animal, and He will scatter it upon you. So from that word, the word chag means a korban. Let's see inside of here one more time. V'yama v'yama perish chagichem v'hu k'mo k'vasim. It means an animal. Reitzo lemar ki bahamos ha-korbanos ha-bahimos me'akorban yikaru chagim v'chein isru chag ba'avoisim. Tie up a korban with ropes. Okay, we call it isru chag. The day after Yom Tov is called Ishru Chag. What does that mean? What does it mean? Ishru Chag ba'avoisim. Tie up. So how do we translate this? If you would not know, if you don't take this Chazal, put this front and center, and you translate it in the more colloquial way of a festival, when the day of Yom Tov is over, reflect. Don't let the Yom Tov pass you by. When you go through a Chag, Yom Tov, you have an awakening. There is a spiritual awakening that takes place over Yom Tov. Whatever you do, you have the Seder, you have your family, and you have Matan Torah, you go to the Sukkah, you hear a nice idea from an inspirational speaker telling you what life is all about, answering all of your questions, why bad things happen to good people, right? You come away with inspiration. Now, the Yom Tov is over. Business as usual. No, it's not business as usual. Israel, take those lessons and tie them up with ropes. Israel, tie, chag, the lessons of the festival, ba'avoisim, with ropes. Don't let the inspiration of the Yom Tov just dissipate. Make sure you conquer those lessons and you absorb and it becomes part of your essence. That's the way the common man translates this expression. Isru chag ba'avoisim. The inspiration of the chag, tie it up with thick ropes. The word ba'avoisim means ropes, thick ropes. Isru means to tie. Chag is the inspiration that has been derived from enjoying the festival. Along comes the Radak, and he says, that may be a very nice drush. That may be true in the world of drush, but that's not the pshat. It's not the pshat. The pshat is saying, Ishu chag bavosim, the animal. We're not discussing when the festival is over. The pasuk is telling us, giving us a warning before the festival begins. A month before Pesach, do you have in your possession an animal, a male sheep, for your carbon Pesach? Like before Sukkot, did you buy your Dalet Minim yet? Do you have your Esreg yet? Do you have your Lulav yet? So when it comes before Pesach, did you purchase an animal for the carbon Pesach? You did? Where is it? I don't know. It's roaming around somewhere in the backyard. Well, you better go lock it up, because if you're going to wait, if you're not going to watch it, you come Erev Pesach, it's not going to be there. It's going to be gone. It's going to run away. Isru, tie up, chag, your korban, the animal that you have designated to be your sacrifice in honor of Hashem, ba'avoisim, with thick ropes. Further, in the Radak, chagim yin koifu. Okay, chagim yin koifu, I do not know what this means. Chelek chagi, chelev chagi, the fat of my sacrifice. V'nikro ha-korban chag, v'fi shorev ha-korbanos kriyem chag. Why are korbanos called a chag? Because most of the korbanos are offered on the chag. V'roitzel lo'emar b'zeh inyin, k'mo sh'atem mevazim o'isim ba-korbanos, the same way you, Klal Yisrael, disgrace me by offering defective korbanos, Cain likewise, avaze eschem, I Hashem will disgrace you, bohem through them, ki ador ha-nivzeh she-ba-behemos, I will punish you and disgrace you with the most detestable element of an animal, which is your perish, which is the perish. As zore oiso, I will throw al peneichem klamar osim eschem levoishes ulibizoyen b'nei harav shashchis hazer shetizru. I will punish you. You will be a disgrace ulibizoyen because of the famine. I will destroy the zera shetizru. V'atem tisharu b'cheshon lechem. You have no bread. When there's a famine and there's an embarrassment for the Jewish people, as if they receive fetish al pneichem. So it's not taken literally. According to Radak says this is not taken literally. This is a figurative expression that when there's not going to be seen, we're saying an idea which is said over many, many times, and I don't think we appreciate this idea to the full extent of what it really means. But we have this idea a number of times that when Klal Yisrael are poor, this is called a Chilul Hashem, a Boishas. When the Jewish people are in a state of poverty and the rest of the world is wealthy and they have Parnasa, so how do we look at it? The average person says, oh good, I'm now eligible for subsidies. Let the United Nations come and give us a package. and give everyone a free cell phone and a free car. That's unfortunately the way we look at it. Okay, so it's not a busha. I don't think today it's a very big problem. Today on a large scale, when a segment of society, is poor, is it viewed as a boshas, as an embarrassment? I don't think today, maybe I'm totally wrong, it's not viewed as an embarrassment, as a disgrace. To what it should be. Maybe that's a good thing, because maybe today, that since there's so much chesed in the world, okay, countries give an enormous amount of charity, you know, for poverty and for all different things. So people don't feel that shame, because they know that we are very generous people and are very generous countries. They give enormous amounts of money for, you know, for the third world countries to help them. But that was not the way it was in ancient times. In ancient times, if you did not have what to eat, who cares? Starve to death. Who cares? Fend for yourselves. It doesn't seem to me that there was a global concern for issues. I don't know to what degree, you know, this is a very, very complicated thing. I have no knowledge of these things, but this thing is an idea that we've come across many times, that when Klal Yisrael does not have food, it is considered to be an incredible, deep, deep embarrassment, a bezoyon for Klal Yisrael to be in a state of poverty. It's a bezoyon.
They would be in it, they're being punished.
I don't know if you can say that, because we all know that, you know. I don't know how everyone will probably look at it differently.
Was Yaakov embarrassed that he had to send down his family?
He didn't have a choice. He didn't have Yaakov gave away all of his money to Eliphaz. Yaakov came to Rachel and Leah and told them, I have nothing to give you.
No, but this could be a point for this. But we don't see that. It was an embarrassment.
We don't see. But Yaakov comes to Lavan. Lavan kisses him. Rashi says he is licking the inside of his mouth. Maybe you're hiding in your mouth some diamonds. Right? That's what they say, Rashi. He was, where's the money? I remember when Eliezer came to marry Rivka, he came with all the money of the world. Everything. A star that Avraham was the richest man in the world, he was going to give everything to the Yitzhak. Here is the Enochon, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, where's the money? Lavan comes running, where's the money? Where's the cash? I don't see any money, I don't see any camels, maybe he has some diamonds. He feels it down. Nothing, what happened to you? And Lavan says, "Nu, just because you're my, you know," he says it, "you're my boss of Adam, you're going to work for me for nothing? I have to support you, I have to give charity."
Yaakov wasn't poor, but he said that there was no food available. He had the money, but there was no food available.
And that was by Egypt.
What do you mean there's no food available? There's no money, there's no food.
He sent him down to Mitzrayim for food. He had money.
No, before he went to Mitzrayim. When Yaakov, before, that's a different, that's a different story. Let's go back to the very beginning. When Yaakov was sent away by Rivka and Yitzchak to Aram Naharayim, to Bavel, to get married. Yaakov was living in Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, with his parents. And Yaakov just got the bracha. Esau was furious. Yaakov stole my firstborn right. And Rivka says to Yaakov, you better run away because he's going to kill me. And he runs away to, go get married. Get married, go to my brother Lavan. He has a daughter, you'll marry the daughter, go get married. He goes. When he leaves, what does he take with him? A lot of money. Lots and lots of money. On the way to Lavan, what happens? Who does he meet? Eliphaz. Eliphaz, the son of Esau. And Eliphaz says to Yaakov, Yaakov, my father told me I should kill you, I should murder you. I don't want to murder you, you're a nice guy. You're my uncle. You're my uncle. So what should I do? So Yaakov says, I'll tell you, we'll take all the money. Ani Choshev Kemes, and it will be as if he killed me. Yud Mekayim Kiyoch. It's very strange, right? To us, this whole thing, these are just words. We're just saying words. We don't understand what this means. Ani Choshev Kemes, Yud Mekayim the mitzvah of Kibyarim. It's a nice brisk of art. It's like, you know, it's like this mathematical art. All the pieces of the puzzle fit, but at the end of the day, what does that mean? What? You take all my money, Ani Choshev Kemes, So you're going to go back and you're going to tell your father, your father will say to you, I don't care about the money, I have my own money. I told you to kill him. I don't care. Don't give me a longish answer. The whole thing is very, very bizarre, right? And why take away my money? If I have no money, how am I going to survive? You're going to take away my money. I'm going to go now to Aram Naharayim. How am I going to survive? Who's going to put me up? How am I going to go live without any money? I need
rich
man. The whole thing. This is MS.
Once again, the henchman is not how he's going to feel. The henchman is he has a mitzvah keeping of aim. He's becoming the mitzvah keeping by aim.
By taking away his money. I'm a kabel, believe shalom. Maminim, b'nei maminim, I understand the whole longness. But in the big picture of things,
the fact that he's not happy with his, father's not happy.
His father is a rotzeach.
The same thing with
your father tells you to kill someone.
Exactly, that's where it all starts and ends. Go tell your father, get lost. The whole thing doesn't make it. The whole thing is it requires. The
same thing about not waking up his father. You know when he was walking.
Right,
don't
mention it.
Same story. It's
okay, these are Mamori Chazal. And we hear when we're little children, not so sophisticated, we hear it and we accept it. And then you get older and you're supposed to, you're obligated to, you know, to delve deeper into what these things really mean. There's obviously a much deeper understanding of what these things mean. In any event, let's go further over here. Over here we have over here this idea which we do not, this idea has been repeated to us many times when we learned the Nanach, and it's saying the same over here. And again, this thing, I think, really passes way over our head. We don't appreciate what it means. And here the Pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to goyer lochem es hazera, lefid radak, I'm going to destroy your seed. Meaning, there's not going to be any parnasa. You're not going to have what to eat. When you don't have what to eat, and you're hungry, you know what happens? You suffer bizyonos. That's not the way we would conclude the Pasuk. When you don't have what to eat, you suffer some starvation, right? That's what you suffer from. Starvation. You die. If Hashem says, Goyo lochem es hazera, which the Radak learns to mean, I'm going to destroy the zera, you're not going to have food, what does it follow? Then we're going to die. We're going to suffer. No, you're not going to die. You'll become schnorrers. You'll go around, you'll become beggars. Go from place to place to go a few dollars to go buy some stale bread, to go take from the bakery. The stale bread they throw in the garbage. So you live. You're not going to die so fast. It's not so easy to get out of this world today. Today they don't like you just leave 1, 2, 3. They like to artificially keep people alive, unfortunately, for a very long time in very unpleasant ways. And here you'll live. But you know what you're going to suffer? You're going to suffer bizyonos. The fact that the reputation will go out in the world, that the Jewish people are poor, they don't have what to eat, and they're beggars. They're going around collecting food, what to eat. This is the ultimate bizyonos. It's equivalent to someone taking animal waste and throwing it on your face. And this idea is expressed many times. We don't think of it. We don't look in the modern world. It doesn't register with us, this idea to the full extent. And the fact that it's repeated so many times in Nach means there's a very deep meaning in this. I'm going to destroy your food, you're going to be starving, you're going to be poor, and the nail that is equivalent to Vizayrisi Feresh Al Penechem, perish, and it's in punishment of your bezioinus, of how you treat my korbanos, the perish Chageichem. And the last words of the Pasuk in Radak are Vinosa, and that you will carry Vinosa Eschem Ela. We already had two interpretations of what this means. Let's see what the Radak says. He'ovoin Yisra Eschem El HaBizoyin HaZeh. The Radak is learning like Rashi. I'm sorry, like the Mitzudois, who says that the word Vinosa, the subject of the word is the sin. Your sin will hover over your head. He'avoin yisa eschem el habizayin hazeh. The sin will carry you, will bring you to this bizayin, midah keneged midah, atem bizisem oisi v'siyu nivzim. You will mevazim me, midah keneged midah, you'll be nivzim. That's not what Rashi said. Rashi said the word the nosa is the peresh, not the oven. Rashi learned that the subject of the word of the word vinosa is the animal waste. The animal waste will be cast upon you. Rashi again. Vinosa eschem elov, the peresh, bahamois, korbinosechem, yisu eschem elov, will lift you towards it. What is the it? The it means the state of bizoyon. Liyos zoylin v'nivzim kamahu. To the it will lift you towards the state of bizoyonus, like it, just like waste is in a category of bizoyon. The peresh that will be now on your body will make your body into a body of bizoyon, into a person of bizoyon. That's not what Rashi, that's not what the Metzuda said, that's not what Radak says. They learn that the sin is what's going to bring upon you the bizoyonis. Okay, it's the same idea.
I think because the Torah says, v'nasa es amano, so you will bear your sin.
Iniquity.
So because of that expression is associated in the Torah with mamon. So, and how will you bear your sin? By this shame,
right,
that you will endure.
Exactly. Then it says, Yonis in Tir Game. Let's see Yonis in the last line in the Radak. Yonis in Tir Game. Ha'ano, nozef l'choin, Hashem is speaking. I will nozef l'choin, shout. The word nozef means to shout. Ba'al las ara, the curse of the land. So it seems that the Targum is not learning, not like Radak. Radak says the word, the goer means to destroy. I will destroy your food. The Targum translates the word goyer to mean to shout. L'choin, be'alilas ara. Through the, I think it means goyel chemes hazera. So he translates the word zera, the curse of the land, meaning that the earth will no longer will not produce sustenance. V'agalei, and I will egg, v'agalei bahasas choveichon al apechon. He translates the word vizeirisi, exile. Okay? Bahasas choveichon. It means I'm not sure, maybe I take that back. I made a mistake. V'agalei, I take that back. What then does it mean? I will reveal. Bahasas choy vechoin al apechoin, vavatel revus chagechoin. I will cancel the abundance of your festivals, the yismenachu lokchoin mine, and it will be denied your portion from you. Saying over here, and I think an entirely different interpretation. We go back to the pasuk, kinei goyim lechavis hazera, Hashem, I'm going to shout upon you a curse, and the curse is that you should be, that the earth should no longer produce. Vizirisi feresh al penechin. Now he says over here the word v'agale, vizirisi, it appears from the Targum, he's translating that word to me, I will reveal bahasas choy vechoin. What's the word? He's translating the word peresh. Bahasas. I don't know what that word means. Choy vechoin means your sins. Your sins ala pechoin. Vavatel, and then when it says peresh chagechem, vavatel, I will cancel the abundance of your first. I think what he's saying is the word peresh means abundance. That's what it seems to be said. The word peresh, we have been learning until according to all of the old commentators, it means human, it means animal waste. Animal waste. No, he's saying it comes from the word of abundance. I will reveal the enormity of your sin. I will reveal to the world that you are sinners, and thus I will cancel the peresh chagechem. He says, I will cancel your festivals. Vavatel, I will cancel. Revus chagechoin. Revus means the abundance, the the abundance, the greatness, when it comes to a festival, the whole Klal Yisrael comes, and it's a very great event. This enormous event will be canceled because of your sins, and what's going to happen? V'nasa eschem elav, and you will be denied. V'nasa eschem elav, you will be lifted up, meaning you're not going to be able to visit the land. You will be removed from coming near your homeland. The yismina means to be withheld. Chu lo koin, your portion, mine from you. V'nasa eschem elav, the land, the subject of the pasuk appears to be Eretz Yisrael. The land will be lifted up, preventing you, elav, from you coming near it, or it coming near you, or you having a connection to it. So if I'm not mistaken, the Radak, the Targum has an entirely different interpretation of this pasuk, and a lot of it is focused on the translation of the word fetish. Fetish does not seem to translate here in this pasuk to mean waste. He seems to translate it something in the league of an abundance. And the pasuk again is saying here that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I'm going to shout at you. I'm going to bring a curse upon you, and that you're going to have the earth. The zera here means the earth will be cursed, and you'll have no choice but to abandon the land and to go into exile. And when you go into exile, that will be a revelation to the world of the enormity of your sins, averas of your sins, and then the perish chagechem, the abundance of your festivals will be cancelled. Or maybe you want to say, maybe I make a mistake, maybe what he says over here, I'm thinking out loud with you, maybe what it means over here is perish does mean really waste, but what it means your sins. That's maybe more accurate. V'zeirisi feresh al pneichem. I will reveal the enormity of your sins. An avera is the ultimate object that is disgusting. It's the ultimate disgrace. And when a Jew is, when we are in exile, this is the ultimate chil Hashem, because it's a revelation that we have sinned. So going into Golis is the ultimate revelation of our waste. What does it mean, waste? It's a metaphor. Our averos. And it's the peresh chagechem. It is the, what was specific sin is that our, when we were living in Eretz Yisrael and we were bringing korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was sinful. Our attitude was horrible. We had a horrible, disgusting attitude towards the Mizbeach, towards the korbanos, and by HaKadosh Baruch Hu shutting down the Beis HaMikdash, shutting down Eretz Yisrael, and exiling us, chutz li'aretz, it is a revelation to the world that our attitude towards the Mizbeach Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash was disgusting. It is the Perish Chagechem, the disgusting attitude towards sacrifices, Korbanos. And therefore, what's going to be the result? V'nasa eschem elav, you will be lifted towards it, meaning you're going to be removed. Hashem will pick us up and remove us, prevent us from living in the land by going into Golis. It's an entirely different approach than everyone else, but it's very creative, obviously, and this is the Targum Medrash. He predated everyone else here on this page. Let's right away take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Av Yato Alechem HaMitzvah Zoyz Ata Ani Mitzav Eschem Shetash Gichu Al Zeh Vishe Tazhiru Esom. Hashem over here is coming to warn the Kohanim. You shall pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, and you shall warn the people. Base. In Lois Tishmu, Mitzad Shani Ma'asir Eschem, in the Malbim, page 875, in the Malbim. If you're not going to listen, Mitzad Shani Ma'asir Eschem, Im Lo Vim Lo Simu Aleif, Mitzad He'oras HaSeichel Shemachai Zos Lochem. If you're not going to listen because I'm warning you, and if you're not going to pay attention because it's logical. The Malbim here is breaking down the pasuk into its smallest parts, and is telling us there's really a double warning. Number one, you should listen to Hashem even if you do not understand. It doesn't matter. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you what to do Just that in and of itself demands that you pay attention. Number two, the second commandment here is that if you think about it, if you have a brain in your head and you analyze it logically, it's logical, it's intuitive that you should follow the guidelines of Hashem. If you're not going to do these two things, what's going to be the result? I'm going to, law says, cover the Shemitah. What does Hashem want from Kabbalah? Show to give honor to Hashem's name. It's logical that we should give honor to Hashem's name. And even if we don't understand the logic, it doesn't matter. Hashem told you, follow orders. What did I say in the previous psukim? Cursed is the noichel, is the miser. A noichel is a miser, a deceiver, a miser. Different translation we have. May Razos, Hashem, 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 curse. I'm going to curse your blessing. Ma shatem mivarchim es on b'ruchas hakohanim. Acha hakrovas hakorban shenemar al zeh v'samu eshmiel b'nei shol al asbina b'nei shol b'nei varchim shal yetchem yivarch Hashem es on. Through you, the people are blessed. So he's saying an entirely new idea that the birchas kohanim is going to turn into a curse. It's an amazing Malma. This Malma is coming to address, I believe, the age-old question. The age-old question. Never unbelievable. When we go over here, it's blowing my mind. What we discussed many, many times. Why don't Kohanim today in Chutz La'aretz, why don't they recite Birchas Kohanim? What? Why don't Kohanim today recite in Chutz La'aretz Ashkenazim Birchas Kohanim every single day? Every single day. Every single day. This is not a mitzvah Kli La'aretz. The Sardin do recite Birchas Kohanim every single day. But Ashkenazim, from time immemorial, since the Churban, do not recite Birchas Kohanim at all. Only time they recite is on the Shalosh Regalim and Rosh Yom Kippur. Why not? What's the reason for this? So there are many, and in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Chassam Sofer felt that they should. I mean, he attends it. Was it Chassam Sofer? I could be Chassam Sofer, the Vilna Goyim, and the Vilna Goyim attempted. There was also Chaim Volozhin. The fires, and they tried, and the Gro was arrested. The Gro was imprisoned. The day, the morning when the Gro was, he planned to start to recite Birchas Kohanim, they arrested him. The government came to arrest him, and Machaim Volozhin, half of Volozhin burned down on the day that they were supposed to start saying Birchas Kohanim. And now I'm saying the Chassam Sofer also, I think, maybe I'm making a mistake, the other Gedil Yisrael, they could not, the greatest Jewish minds of Klal Yisrael cannot figure out why don't we recite every single day Birchas Kohanim. And they took it as a sign, an omen, a sign in Hashemayim, and Shemayim they do not want, Litzvay Ashkenazim. Why not? So many have struggled to find a hezber of why it has stopped, and why the Gedil Yisrael, even though they tried, they took it as a sign that Hashemayim they do not want. The most common answer given is, because the bracha that the Kohanim make is, Lavorich es Avo Yisrael be'ahava, to bless the Jewish people with love. And being that today we are in Golos and there are so many difficulties, it's very, very hard every day, every single day, at Davin Shachris, for a person to raise up his spirits and bless the people with ahava. It's too much lip service. There's a limit to how much lip service you can do. And they decided, you know what? Well, let's leave it only for the Shalosh regarding for the Moabim. That's one reason. There are other reasons as well. The Malmul here seems to be saying an entirely new reason. He's saying it's a Perish Apostle. The shocking thing what he says here, I never saw this. You have to learn the Imam Shem, not to appreciate it, the first him. And that is what it says over here. The Pasik days. If you're not going to listen, then Loisim Walei, Law says, Kavu Lishmi, Omar Shem Tzokas. You Kohanim, when you get up to bless the people, you know what you're really doing? You're cursing them. When you get up and you say, That's your bracha. That's the bracha that Hashem has entitled you to say. You're saying to Klal Yisrael, Yivarechecha. Hashem says, I'm going to take that Yivarecha that comes out of your mouth, and I'm going to use it to bring curse upon the people. So therefore, it would be wise of the Kohanim not to bless the people, because they're not really blessing, they're cursing the people. Is that a shock? Is that a shock or not? This is a shocking finish. It makes a lot of sense. It mamash fits into the words like a glove. The Malbim always shocks you out of your mind. He came only almost 700-800 years after everyone else, and he says things that fit into the pasuk that are so super obvious and feeling like, how come the other Rishonim didn't say these ideas? He's saying, who are we speaking to over here? Pasuk Aleph makes it clear as day. V'yatar now, Aleichem ha-mitzvah hazos ha-kohanim. I want to tell you something, Kohanim. Oh, I have a message for you, Kohanim. You're problematic people. People are coming to the Beis HaMikdash, they're bringing disgusting animals, and you accept them. You take the animals are blind, they're sick, they smell, they're defective, and you put it on the Mizbeach. Blatant violation of what it says in the Torah. Why? Because you go home and you say, the Mizbeach is a disgusting thing. The Beis HaMikdash is disgusting. It's a foul place, there's an odor, there's blood, there's grease. It's a butcher shop. It's just a big butcher shop. It's all the Beis HaMikdash is. You have a contemptuous attitude towards my Beis HaMikdash, and that attitude is conveyed to the people who come to the Beis HaMikdash. This is a disgrace. So besides the fact that in the previous sukkah we learned, I'm going to shut down this Beis HaMikdash, I don't need this. I don't want this, Hashem says. I don't need this, I don't want this. We're going to shut down the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to suffer the consequences for your leadership, for your horrific leadership. And you know what that is? In the law, because of what you've done, I'm going to send amongst you a curse. Okay, we're talking to the Kohanim over here. Now, the Radak said, Vochem means both on the Kohanim and the people also. But the Malbim over here is saying, we're focusing primarily on the Kohanim, because they're the ones that's being addressed. The Oresi is Birchoy Seichem. When you say, I'm going to curse your blessings, what does that mean? So until now, when we learn like Rashi and the Radak and the Metzudos, oh, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael, Hashem blesses them with Dagon, Tirosh, V'Yitzar. I'm going to prevent all of the blessing. No, that's not the Malbim. That's not the Pshat. What are you making up things? You know what it means? Kohanim, when you say to a Kohen, you're a Kohen, give me a Birchas Kohen. A Kohanim, they are miyuchad. They are designated to say the holy words. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha Yo'er Hashem ponev alecha v'chunecha. This is what you do. This is your business. You know the blessings that come out of your mouth, I'm going to transfer them into curses. So now, when a Kohen gets up to Duchen, he should think twice. If he is in violation of Pasuk Beis that says, Im lois sishnu'u, vim lois sasimu alei loses kovod l'shmi, when you go up to Duchen, there's a screener, okay? There's someone going to interrogate you. Before they let you up on the stage to Duchen, we could have a moment with you. We know it's Chazeres Hashatz, but we have a few moments here. Tell me, were you mechabed Hashem? Are you really, can you really say, sir, can you imagine, interrogate a Cohen? Mr. Cohen, can you really tell me that you are a person that has given kavod to Hashem's name? I saw you do something in business last week that wasn't so ay ay ay. I think you made a little chil Hashem last week. You came late to davening today, I noticed. You came in the middle of Pesukim the Zimra. That's how you give kavod to Hashem? That's how you give kavod? You know, they gave you the aliyah today, and you didn't give any money for the Mishnah Berurah. Oh, you didn't give enough money. What a disgrace. Who do you think you are here? Can you really say about yourself that you've given kavod to Hashem's name? So the Kohen says, who cares? Mind your own business. So the guy says, I don't want you going up there on the duchen, because if you did not give cover, lo says cover the shmi, Omar Hashem Tzavokos, the shilachi b'chenes ha-me'era, Hashem's going to send a new curse, and not only that, the oroisias b'rchoy seichem, your blessing that you're about to make, yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, is going to be a curse. Hashem says he's going to mahapich your blessing into a curse. I don't want to suffer because of you. You cannot go on the duchen. Next Kohen. You take out his file. I have over here from the IRS that you cheat on your taxes. You mechal Hashem. You can't go on the duchen to say birchas kohanim. Next. You go through one Kohen after the other. We are in Golus, after all. That is why Kohanim don't do Birchos Kohanim every single day. Because who can say the fact that we are in Golus because of this whole event that has taken place in the time of the Bayesheni has never been resolved? I'm not making this up. No one would have the chutzpah to say such a thing, right? Who would have the chutzpah to say, the azus, to say such a vart? Rashi didn't say it. The Radak didn't say it. The Mitzulos didn't say it. The Malbim says, I'll tell you the pshat in the pasuk. Now let's read this again. And this answers with utter simplicity the age-old question, why is it minhag Ashkenaz not to recite Birchos Kohanim? And there's no reason why not to do it. Why don't you do it? Everyone is groping in the darkness. Why don't we do it? Vilna Goy says, Rabbeisai, let's get with the program. We're going to say Birchos Kohanim over here. The Ruchai Mevilojin. We're going to say, what's holding us back? Let's do it. No. Minash Shamayim, they made a statement. Only Gedolim on this league can interpret these things. We can't do like that today. Then Shamayim, they don't want. Why? So here comes the Malam, and he tells you why. What's the words one more time? It's because I lost the place of the Malam. Let's go. Really see, it's the first wide line. The first wide line, 875 in the Malam. In the Malam, the end of the line, Ve'oroisias Birchoseichem Ma Sha'atem Mivarchim Esa'am Bebirkas Koyhanim. Isn't that amazing? The blessing of Birchos Kohanim. Achar HaKrovas HaKorban. Shenemer al zeh. Vissamu eshni al b'nei Yisrael. Vani avorechei. Shal yetchem yivorech Hashem esom. Avalat. Now shatem misalkim shmi b'nei Yisrael. Mechat l'moisoi. You're not giving cover to shmi. Epoich birchoy seichel. Your blah bracha of yivorech Hashem yishmerecha. What comes out of your mouth is going to be L'klala. The gam. What? Oh, so he's going so far to say. So we shouldn't. We shouldn't even do.
The Malbim lived in a time who were very active against our school.
Yeah.
So that's why they had a lot of enemies, because he was open and they were open against him. They were right with him. They put him in jail, whatever. The reformers didn't keep Shalosh Regalim. To them, there was a one holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's talking to Amcha. He's not talking to the reformers.
But he's telling them that
he's talking to Amcha.
So the reformers,
they're not in the equation. The reformers are out of the equation. We're talking about, they don't believe in any of this stuff. They're done with this.
But he fought with them all the time.
Fine, but with the Malbim, he was not writing a commentary for them. He's writing a commentary for us. Okay, these people, they should do tshuva halavai. But he's not writing for them. They unfortunately, whether you'll say it to me, they have other problems, other issues, they're out of the box. He's writing it for us. And he's telling us, listen, the bottom line is, we're in Golus. Obviously, we have not resolved the issues that brought us into Golus. And therefore, these words are still very much active. This explains, this really gives a hesber, an incredible hesber, why it's so. Mr. Wilds there says, why did they do it on the Shal Shagom? So I guess you have to say, you know, there's a limit. On the Shalosh Regalim, you do Teshuvah. The Shalosh Regalim is a different Zman. You're in a different frame of mind. You have to assume that cloud, that Ameich Kulam Tzadikim. Okay, Chazal say, Pasuk says, there's got to be a Tekufa in the year when a person's heart is filled with ahava and teshuva to give kavod lishmi. On the shalosh regalim, you tell the interrogator, don't give me this business. I did teshuva already. I served my time already. I was choizeh b'shuva. I'm good now. I only give to Hashem kavod, kavod lishmi. I'm a kabbal to kavod lishmi. I'm a male on the shalosh regalim. It has to be that we're in a different frame of mind. But during the weekday, obviously, he's saying an incredible chiddush, and he's not. I'm ending this. He doesn't say this, but the fact that he learns pshat the pasuk like this, it's just super simple. Why we don't do Birchas Kehanim today? Because this issue has not been resolved. And if this is what the pasuk really means, then Taka, you don't want them saying Birchas Kehanim, because Hashem is saying the bracha that comes out of your mouth is gonna be a klala. Just like we have a principle, Hashem is ma'abich ha'klala l'bracha, it's a referish pasuk, there's a principle that the bracha will turn into a klala. So you know what, Kehanim, maybe you should take a day off. There's something special. It's true, but there's something special about Birchas Kehanim. After davening is over, so you can probably go to a kohen and say, give me a bracha. It's okay, hey, you go to Gedolei Yisrael, people, they line up around the block to get brachas. But Birchas Kehanim is something that is miyuchad. It's something different. It's a different week. Also, Birchas Kehanim, the Ramalbim explains, is directly connected to Korbanos. When did the Kehanim in the Beis HaMikdash recite the bracha? Part of the service of the Korbanos. They brought the Korbanos, and to accompany the Korbanos, they gave the bracha, Birchas Kehanim. You Kehanim were mevazeh b'mizbeach. You taught the Jewish people to treat with contempt this makam and the mizbeach and the whole institution of Korbanos. And now you're going to say a bracha, Birchas Kehanim, when the service is over? I don't need your brachas. In fact, your brachas is a klala. Okay, there's something unique about Birchas Kehanim.
Are we to understand that Malachi is talking to the Kehanim of his day?
Yes, and he's talking to the Kehanim of our day. Absolutely. Before you came, because I was very interested, we had over here in the Radak before you came, is that the Radak Mam actually says that, that he was talking to the Kehanim in the time of the Bayis Sheni. In the Bayis Sheni, and he's telling them, look, Hashem gave you enormous blessing. He returned you to the Bayis Sheni. You came up from Bavel. It's a miracle that you survived the Churban. And Koresh gave permission. And Koresh paid for your trip. And he paid for the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem has given you enormous blessing. How dare you now behave in this Mokom with contempt? Yes, he's speaking to the Kehanim of his generation, but by extension, he's speaking to us as well. Because that's what Nevu is all about. Colin.
I see another thing here. The second bracha of the Kohanim is Yissa Hashem Panav Elecha.
Ah, so it's in the word Nosa.
That's what he's talking. That was his talking. What Panav? You threw Peresh on me. I'm going to throw the Peresh.
Fascinating. So Kalman is taking the idea of the Malm even further and saying, you look carefully at the words of these Psukim, the words of the Psukim are, each one alludes to Mamish Birchas Kehanim. Because Yisro Hashem Ponov Eilecha. And what does it say? Vizeirisi Feresh Al Pneichem. The last part, what does it say? Vinoso Eschem Elov. Yisro Hashem Ponov Eilecha. Yisro. There is Yisro. So when you go look at this whole puzzle, you have to analyze it in more detail. Every expression of here probably alludes to the bracha. You have to analyze it in more detail, but obviously there are certain obvious connections of Birkas Kehanim. Unbelievable. So only the Malbim says this. No one wanted to say this. He has a lot of azus. Okay, let's go further. Let's switch over here. V'nos eschem elav yichalev yisrov eschem. We'll finish up over here, and the last words are v'nos eschem elav yichalev yisrov eschem. He learns the word v'nosa to mean something very frightening. He will destroy you. Shetiyu doimim el haperesh v'ho efer. You'll be like waste and dust. So he translates the word vinasa as to destroy. That's not the way we learned it. We learned vinasa always to mean to lift up. Either it meant that the subject of the word vinasa was the sin will come upon you, or the sin, your sin will bring you the bezioinos of being connected to Peresh, or vinasa, the Peresh will be lifted upon you, will come upon you. And here he's saying something a little bit different than the Malbim. Vinasa eschem yichalev yisreif eschem. The bezioinos sounds like what he's saying over here is the bezioinos will destroy you. When I throw upon you this peresh, the peresh will have a koyach to destroy you. Okay, it's like I guess it's like it's toxic. It's some type of it's lethal. The contact of the peresh will cause the person to completely just be destroyed. Forgiveness. It's doing the opposite, right? There's definitely a play on the words with okay, this is really, really incredibly fascinating. Okay, let's see what we have time. The only thing we have left over here is the Maamar Chazal. Tomorrow we can go further. Let's try to do very, very quickly. Pass the Gimel. The Maamar Chazal. So we'll go further tomorrow. Mizirasi Fedesh Alpanechem. I'm on page 874 in the very, very bottom. The last thing that we learn in this section. I'm going to disperse upon you the Peresh of Alpanechem, Peresh Hagechem. Mevim Klei Mekar Klei Matachos Manichem Al Klei Social Mes. Kidei Shaloi Tovok. This is ancient times, a technique. What to do that a mace should not his stomach should not swell. Certain things that happen after a person dies, and you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Maybe you'll say that it's muksa. How are you allowed to bring kalim? You're not generally allowed to be metaltel utensils on Shabbos for no reason whatsoever. This is a whole big thing of muksa, all different things of muksa. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, there are many opinions exactly what you're allowed to move on Shabbos. So a mace is the ultimate muksa. Are you allowed to move an ordinary utensil for an object that's muksa? So here it says yes. You're permitted to move expensive utensils and metal utensils on Shabbos. And even though the reason why you're moving it is you're moving it for an object that is muksa. Umanichin al kreisa shol mace kreisa shol sofuach. What does that pasuk mean, say a keres? It says the kad al hamabua, it will break. The kad, in this is a metaphor, the pitcher. The pitcher will break al hamabua on the spring of water. It's an expression, I think, of frustration. Here you have a pitcher, and you want to go and you want to fill up the pitcher with water, and then suddenly the pitcher breaks. So you're frustrated. I schlep this pitcher to the spring to bring home some water for my family. It took a long time to get here. I schlep this heavy utensil. And now I come here, the pitcher shatters. So I came here for nothing, and I schlep this heavy thing for nothing. That's the Peshuta Shel Nigra. The drush is, the kad is a stomach. Al hamabua, it means, the mabua, I guess, means the person. Something along those lines. Zeakeres. The next words are vinoroitz hagalgal el habar. The galgal, the mechanism, will fall into the pit. Zeperesh. The chenu omer vizeirisi fedesh apnechem perish hagechem. Okay, so this awesome expression referring to the person, the person's end of life. The last paragraph of the Hellas, we have to go back and read this. End of life, different things that happen to a person. This pasuk here refers to, besides the traditional mikra, which I'm not saying correctly, but the Gemara is making a drasha. This refers to people that live the whole life as a party. They told Mashu Masati Shinasata B. take what you have given me. For after 3 days, this is a horrible thing that they deal with. People deal with is that after 3 days, the stomach decomposes where there's an opening, and the perish comes out. And it says here that in extreme cases, the perish can even make its way to the person's ponim. And this is a statement being said by the body. Look what you did to me. The body is complaining. You spend your entire life partying, drinking, and having a good time. And now that you're no longer alive, you can take back what you put into me. After 3 days, the body decomposes, the stomach opens up, waste comes out, and somehow makes its way to the ponim. It's making a statement. And that's exactly what this pasuk here is saying. The pasuk here is saying, Vizirisi Fedesh Al Paneichem. This is a reminder that Achar Meya Ve'esrim, after a person is no longer alive and his body begins to decompose, the stomach will open up and the peresh that's in the stomach will come out and it will be cast upon his face, on his mouth. Paneichem here in this context means his mouth, as if to say that the body will now take revenge and give musa to the person. Look what you put into me. Your whole life you spent eating, drinking, having a good time. Take it back. Now you can have it back. It's all you have. You should spend your life doing things that are much more important. This is a very powerful Musa Hasko based upon the words of this pasuk. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Take a short break. And leave off on a better note. Nesalek means to remove. Nesalek means to remove. You cause my name to be removed from this world. Yes. By this behavior, the start of removing the It's a chid, it's a chid, it's a chid, no, it's not a chid, it's 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 a
chid, you see the safer, it came out 3 years ago. Okay, I started to read it, but it's not going to be for me, I'm going to give it to you, it's all above my head. Dr. Robert Appleson. I just picked it up yesterday.
Good.
Maybe.
Why isn't it laughing?
You talk about I understand. That's it. No, it's a, but he goes into something that you talk about all the time.
Okay.
The order of the Torah.
Drive back and I think our story, the only one that does this is the little sister. That's it. Mess. Yeah.
Are you done with that already?
Don't.
In high school, the whole time, great. In the afternoon. It's officially to teach you will model Hebrew to get to take the Hebrew regions, which for Yeshiva boys, if he wouldn't teach us, you know, if he didn't study, we would fail, because a lot of the Yeshiva boys, they don't know modern Hebrew. They don't know the type of questions they want to know. They look at a certain things on them. So you have to study. You know, you have to. You know, but the Yeshiva boy, it doesn't take long. It's not that much after, you know. So that's the last 2 weeks.
What is the rest of the
year? The rest of the year, he actually taught us the real deal, the real stuff.
What is it?
In high school. So we were very lucky. Now they don't have that. They don't have right. How many Rabbi Lynch saw there? And also, the other thing is, because I'm very, very close with his son. That's in Shai Lynch. He was in my class.
He is?
I'm very close with him. And he follows in his father's ways. He knows everything. So over the years, I always would talk to Dallas. You know, more and more. You know, he's a really goes to his father. I've been saying for my family.
Did you learn like he was like man with like all the
Binyanin? He taught us this.
Like the colors in Hebrew and the
that's in the regions.
For the language in general.
Right, for the regions. That's basically that. You can probably get away with without very much. Guys, you know, pretty much. But he needs a modern word. Well, me, you know, you need to know about an airplane and car and this and that.
How are you?
Yes.
When I took Spanish in high school, you start off with you're reading a chapter, right? You go to the store, and at the beginning it's 20 words, you have to study those 20 words. Then you read the words. It's a cycle. The next day, always repeating a couple of words just to see if it's more. It's interesting also that I never learned Mishnayos. Right to Gemara. I never learned Mishnayos. At a certain point, like the 10th grade, I gave up. I would have in my Gemara, I would have written in English all the words in English, and I would have so much trouble getting through a language that the concept of what's going on, the arguments, were lost. I mean, you kids, I'm trying to read the words. My grandson is going there next year. His name is Shaloni also. Yeah, but the yeshiva has a curriculum that's not always what the kids should learn. It's always that, the principals have a very highfalutin curriculum that, this is an ideal solution. After the basics, this is what you can learn. So my friend, Norman Rosenblum, just to be Norman Rosenblum.
Okay, everybody, let's begin. Let's learn. Today's topic is tzedakah. Aser to aser. 1 second over here. Aser to aser.